Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 1. And we'll be reading the last half of that chapter, beginning at verse 32 to the end of the chapter. Last week we had the first half of 1 Kings 1, and this morning we will be finishing that chapter, beginning at verse 32 to the end, verse 53. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. King David said, "Call in Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada." When they came before the king, he said to them, "Take your Lord's servants with you, and set Solomon my son on my own mule, and take him down to Gihon. There have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. Blow the trumpet and shout, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then you are to go up with him, and he is to come and sit on my throne and reign in my place. I have appointed him ruler over Israel and Judah." Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, answered the king, "Amen. May the Lord, the God of my lord the king, so declare it. As the Lord was with my lord the king, so may he be with Solomon to make his throne even greater than the throne of my lord King David." So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, the Kerethites and the Pelethites went down and put Solomon on King David's mule and escorted him to Gihon. Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon. Then they sounded the trumpet, and all the people shouted, "Long live King Solomon!" And all the people went up after him, playing flutes and rejoicing greatly, so that the ground shook with the sound. Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they were finishing their feast. On hearing the sound of the trumpet, Joab asked, "What's the meaning of all this noise in the city?" Even as he was speaking, Jonathan, son of Abiathar, the priest, arrived. Adonijah said, "Come in, a worthy man like you must be bringing good news." "Not at all," Jonathan answered. "Our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and they have put him on the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king at Gihon. From there they have gone up cheering, and the city resounds with it. That's the noise you hear. Moreover, Solomon has taken his seat on the royal throne. Also, the royal officials have come to congratulate our Lord King David, saying, 'May your God make Solomon's name more famous than yours, and his throne greater than yours.'" And the king bowed in worship on his bed and said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has allowed my eyes to see a successor on my throne today." At this, all Adonijah's guests rose in alarm and dispersed. But Adonijah, in fear of Solomon, went and took hold of the horns of the altar. Then Solomon was told, "Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon and is clinging to the horns of the altar. He says, 'Let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword.'" Solomon replied, "If he shows himself to be a worthy man, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground, but if evil is found in him, he will die." Then King Solomon sent men, and they brought him down from the altar, and Adonijah came and bowed down to King Solomon. And Solomon said, "Go to your home." Thus the reading of God's word this morning as we find it in 1 Kings chapter 1. I invite you to keep your Bibles open to that whole chapter as we will be working our way through this text this morning. In our scripture reading this morning, we have two potential kings that will succeed King David as king of Israel. As we learned last week that first king is Adonijah. In verse 5, we read that Adonijah has made himself king. He rides around Jerusalem, verse 6, with his chariots and horses and 50 men to run in front of him. He is handsome in appearance. He was born next after Absalom. His mother was Haggith, a rightful heir to the throne. He also has with him the commander of the army, Joab, Abiathar the priest. He has invited his brothers, the king's sons, and the men of Judah who are royal officials to a feast to declare him as king. But there is another king in our text. This king does not come with the same credentials. Solomon is not next in line to the throne. He's way down the list as far as the sons of David. Solomon was born of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, until David killed him. Solomon sits in our text not active, but as passive. He does nothing until the very end of the text, when he is king. Adonijah is actively at work. Adonijah is surrounded by opportunists who are following him for their own reasons. But Solomon is passive. Things are being done to Solomon. In fact, if you look at the structure that I have placed in your bulletins this morning, you can see in this chiastic structure that the point of the text comes to a center in verses 28 to 31. The center of our structure is built around an oath. Adonijah is a king who has made himself king, but Solomon's kingship is centered around an oath of David, an oath of God. In verse 29, the king took an oath. As surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered me out of every trouble, I will surely carry out today what I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel. Solomon, your son, shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne in my place. This oath is based on the promise of God, the promise that God gave to Nathan as Solomon was born, that the Lord loved him, the promise David made on oath to Bathsheba, based on God's word that Solomon would be king. Because that oath is the center of our text, everything that surrounds it in the immediate vicinity is based on God and God's works. You see, David begins in our text passively, doing nothing as king of Israel. They are trying to revive him. But as Adonijah uses his opportunity to take over the kingship from Solomon, God intervenes. And the reason that God intervenes is because of the oath. The oath of David, the promise of God, that God will work through David's descendants, through the son God has chosen. But how do we know that God has done this? How do we know that God is confirming this? In previous times, if you wanted to know who was the king, you looked to Samuel. He anointed the first king of Israel, King Saul. He anointed the next king of Israel, King David. Samuel, who functioned as a prophet of God, who brought the word, who functioned as the priest of God, who, in times when Israel did not have a king, also served as king. But you see, this is a new day. And Adonijah has used this opportunity to make himself king. And so God has to intervene with his servants, with his officers, with the three offices that are now divided up into three particular men. First, God acts in verses 11 through 27 through his prophet. He acts through Nathan the prophet, of whom he sends to Bathsheba to go speak to David about what is taking place with Adonijah. And as Bathsheba is speaking with him, he enters the room to confirm everything that Bathsheba has said, verses 24 through 27. God's prophet spurs to action. He seeks to move David to action, and David responds by citing once again that oath that he has taken, that promise of God for Solomon. And so God's king confirms things. In verse 32, as God's king speaks, he tells him to call in Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And when they came before the king, he said to them, "Take your Lord's servants with you and set Solomon my son on my own mule and take him down to Gihon. There have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, anoint him king over Israel. Blow the trumpet and shout, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then you are to go up with him, and he is to come and sit on my throne and reign in my place. I have appointed him ruler over Israel and Judah." The king comes to action. He puts things in motion so that God's choice will become king. He gives the orders. He instructs the rightful priest Zadok, not the wrongful priest Abiathar of Eli. He instructs the prophet of God to do his part in Israel. The prophet has already acted, and he is present in all the ceremony that follows. He has spoken to Benaiah, his commander, his bodyguard, and the special guard of the Perathites and the Kerathites, who will witness and confirm what the king has commanded. And all these events will fall into place as the king instructs them to say, "Long live King Solomon," in contrast to those who have said, "Long live King Adonijah," verse 25. Upon hearing these words, verse 36, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, answered the king, "Amen. May the Lord, the God of my lord the king, so declare it. As the Lord was with my lord the king, so may he be with Solomon, to make his throne even greater than the throne of my lord King David." You see, Benaiah understands. His speech is reflective of the very words of Bathsheba, verse 31. When she falls to her knees upon hearing this oath and says, "May my Lord King David live forever." She understands God's promise. Benaiah understands that God is at work through his king, that God has been at work in David, that God will be at work in his successor. He even professes, though Solomon is the son of Bathsheba, though Solomon is not next in line to the throne, may he make Solomon's throne even greater than the throne of my Lord, King David. Things move into motion, verse 38. Notice how many times the offices are repeated in our text. Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, the Kerethites and the Pelethites went down and put Solomon on King David's mule and escorted him to Gihon, the water hole, the water supply of Jerusalem. When David conquered Jerusalem in 2 Kings chapter 5, he went up the water hole, the tunnel up into the city so he could conquer Jerusalem. Whoever controls that place controls Jerusalem itself. That's where they went. Zadok the priest, verse 39, takes the horn of oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon. They sounded the trumpet, and all the people shouted, "Long live King Solomon!" And all the people went up after him playing flutes, rejoicing greatly so that the ground shook with sound. Do you see how the oath is surrounded very carefully by the offices of God? The prophet has his role. The king has his role. The priest has his role. And functioning together, they have anointed and determined that Solomon will be the next king of Israel. But look who is on the outside. He has made himself an outsider from the beginning by throwing his own feast, by anointing himself as king, by purposely, verse 10, not inviting Nathan the prophet or Benaiah or the special guard or his brother Solomon or Zadok the priest. He has his own party going at En-Rogel. He has his own celebration going on, and they hear the noise of the celebration for Solomon. Adonijah and all the guests who are with him hear it as they're finishing their feast. And on hearing the sound of the trumpet, Joab asked, "What is the meaning of all this noise in the city?" And even as he was speaking, Jonathan, son of Abiathar, the priest, arrived. And Adonijah said, "Come in. A worthy man like you must be bringing good news." Last week, in the beginning of our text, we showed how Adonijah and the description that is given about Adonijah is the mirror of Absalom. Absalom, the rebellious son of David. Absalom, who took advantage of David in his weakness, who proclaimed himself king and forced his father out of the city in rebellion. As David heard the news of Absalom's death, there was a messenger. That messenger was the son of Zadok the priest. And when David saw that messenger, he said, "That must be good news." But the news was that Absalom was dead. Now a messenger comes. This time it is Jonathan, son of Abiathar, the priest, who has joined Adonijah. "Come in," Adonijah says. "A worthy man like you must be bringing good news." "No," verse 43. "Our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and they have put him on the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king at Gihon. From there they have gone up cheering, and the city resounds with it. That's the noise you hear." Adonijah thinks he has created his own inner circle. He's surrounded by the commander of the army, Joab, who has his own interests. He knows that he cannot enter this circle of David. He is surrounded by Abiathar the priest, who has his own interests because God has pronounced a curse on Eli's household, Abiathar, the descendant of Eli. He cannot enter this circle. Adonijah has become an outsider. Adonijah knows that he cannot compete with God's ordination, that the priest and the prophet who have anointed Solomon, that the special guard who has come and placed him on the king's mule, that the noise in Jerusalem cannot compete with him, especially verse 6. Moreover, Solomon has taken his seat on the royal throne. In fact, the royal officials have come. The royal officials have said to David, verse 47, may your God make Solomon's name more famous than yours and his throne greater than yours. And the king bowed in worship on his bed and said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has allowed my eyes to see a successor on my throne today. And Adonijah is proved to be a farce. At this, all Adonijah's guests rose in alarm and dispersed. Adonijah the aggressor. Adonijah the opportunist. Adonijah, who rides around Jerusalem with his chariots and horses and 50 men, is left with nobody, is left with no power, is left with nothing. And what does he do? In the center of our text, when Bathsheba hears about the appointment of God that Solomon will be king, her response is, may my Lord the King David live forever. She understands the promises of God and God's ways. When Benaiah, the commander of David's special guard, hears this news, he responds, amen. May the Lord, the God of my Lord the King, so declare it. As God was with my Lord the King, so may he be with Solomon to make his throne even greater than of my King David. When the royal officials, verse 47, hear the news, they respond and say to David, may Solomon's name be more famous than yours and his throne more greater than yours. When Adonijah hears the news, he runs to the altar. He goes to the altar in verse 50. In verse 51, he's told that Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon and he's clinging to the horns of the altar, trying to spare his life. But where is the faith in the promises of God? Jonathan, son of Saul, the first prince of Israel, he had the right to the throne. But God chose another. God chose David. And did Jonathan try to work against David? Did Jonathan try to save himself and make himself king? Jonathan bows to the providence of God. He bows to God's choice. He bows to God's plan. Because if God has chosen David and he works through David instead of me, praise be the name of the Lord. Adonijah has no faith in God's choice. Adonijah does not respond to God's king, God's priest and prophet, and what God has done through them in a way which brings glory to God and salvation to him through another king. Adonijah tries to save his life. Adonijah, in weakness, all he can do is go to the altar and plead for his life. Solomon replies in verse 52, if he shows himself to be a worthy man, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground, but if evil is found in him, he will die. What is a worthy man? In verse 42, similar language is used. Adonijah calls Jonathan a worthy man because he is a son of the priest who has chosen to follow him? When Jonathan tells him the news, he first tells him it's not good news. Not for Adonijah, anyway. A worthy man in our text is a man that follows Solomon as king. Adonijah has time. If he follows God's ordained king and submits to God's providence, though he is deserving, if he loves God and God's king, he will be fine. But if evil is found in him, he will die. King Solomon sent men. They brought him down from the altar. Adonijah came and bowed to King Solomon, and Solomon said, "Go to your home." We are left asking ourselves, what's next? Why does it end this way? What's next for Adonijah? Will evil be found in him? Will he be a worthy man? You notice that he bows before the king. We have described at the beginning of the chapter that Adonijah is the mirror of Absalom. We have described at the end of the chapter the mirroring events of the conclusion of Absalom. As Absalom returned after killing his brother Amnon, and David accepts him back into Jerusalem at the end of 2 Samuel 14, Absalom bowed with his face to the ground before the king. Does Absalom love the king? Does he profess his faith in the king and the king's forgiveness? He bows as he should, and he goes home and plots against the king. Adonijah bows, and as we will see in the next chapter, he goes home to plot against the king. Adonijah cannot deal with God's choice. He cannot deal with the king that God has chosen. The king who is not next in line. The king who is not described with handsome features. The king who is born of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, of whom David killed. But that king is God's choice. And because the king is God's choice, God's king, Adonijah, who does not accept it, is an outsider. There are many Adonijahs in this world. Adonijahs who bring attention to themselves. Adonijah who look powerful and handsome in the eyes of the world. Adonijah who even uses the sacrifices of God to somehow credit himself as if God has endorsed him, creating his own endorsement by use of God's priest. But there was one who came like King Solomon. One who came to earth, born of a virgin. They said of him, he is Mary's son. He is the son of a carpenter. Look at his brothers. What makes him special? Isaiah wrote that he was not handsome to look at, nothing special about him and his features. But he was God's choice. And as God's chosen king, as a descendant of David and Solomon, he did not come to earth parading around with his chariots and his horsemen. He did not come to earth to lead the armies against Rome and establish Israel as a world power. He came to earth as God's chosen king to die on the cross to confirm his priesthood. He came as the Word that became flesh, as the fulfillment of the prophets. He came as the King of Kings who conquered sin and death by his death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, his enthronement in heaven on the seat of David forever and ever. He stands as the true prophet, priest, and king. He stands as God's chosen king, who in the eyes of the world has no credibility. All he did was die on a cross. But he stands as the Savior of the world. He stands as your eternal King and Savior who rules on that throne forever. He stands as the King of Kings who reigns on high, the Lord of glory. And if you follow others, they will prove to be a farce. Adonijah goes to the altar for protection. We'll learn more about that in the next chapter. But Solomon, the king of peace, whose name means peace, is God's choice. Not the opportunist, not the schemer. He, as God's choice, is surrounded by the officers of God, the prophet, priest, and king. He, as God's choice, is surrounded by those who have faith in God's promises and understand that though the world is not impressed, this king is God's choice and God's promise is forever. He is surrounded by the Joabs, by the Abiathars, and once they find he is a farce, they abandon him. They have no faith in the worldly king. Their faith is only in themselves. There are many like that in this world. There are many who seek a following. There are many who portray themselves to the world as if they have the answers to everything. But before the King of Kings, that King of Kings laughs, for he knows that he reigns in glory. And it is your faith in that King, which goes beyond this world, that sees, though not impressive in the world, in the eternal framework he is forever. Those that have faith in that king will live in his kingdom forever. Let us pray. Father in heaven, this morning we can see in the story of Adonijah the temptations that even we face in this world. For we can be led by those who give attention to themselves, who are not living their life in their understanding of the King of Kings, but who use religion and politics for their own purposes, for their own glory. May you protect us as your people from these kinds of things. May we follow you, our Savior. May we recognize that what he has accomplished is greater than all, that he is the true prophet, priest, and king, that he reigns on high forever, and that we belong to his kingdom and live with him forever. May you enable us to identify with him in our faith in him, and not join those who lead us away. May you give us hearts that profess that faith, that we may live for him eternally. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing together concerning this glorious King with the singing of number 299. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. Number 299. Let us stand and sing all the stanzas. Number 299. Reminder for our fellowship dinner in the basement following the service. We invite all of you.